got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard?
Scarface on repeat. Scarface on repeat. Constant, y'all.
Catch a painted pony on the spinning wheel ride.
Some people are saying that your new music sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Well, maybe Bob Dylan sounds a lot like me.
She doesn't even go here.
They knew, and they let it happen.
Oh, and in case I don't see you.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Welcome to Outside the Frame on Radio Western 94.9. My name is Mike. Elijah just stepped out momentarily, but he'll be back. And you are listening to Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. Is that right?
That is correct.
Awesome.
That is correct. Thank you for
stalling.
Yeah.
And doing the intro. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I can do that.
It's a nice change of pace.
My name's Mike.
My name's Elijah.
And today we have a very special guest here who we'll get to in 1 second. But I thought I would mention a couple of things in case people aren't aware.
Okay.
December 9th.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening?
Oh, we're doing a little thing called, or a big thing, I guess, depending on how you frame it. And that would be our monthly movie trivia night at the Holy Diver, 8
yeah.
to 10 p.m.
Yes.
It's the last one of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're working on it before air. It's going to be a lot of fun. And there's going to be awesome prizes,
as always.
As per usual.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so come out to that. That's December 9th, 8th. December 9th, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Holy Diver. Also on the 9th, our show, I just thought I'd give a little quick teaser to that.
Sure.
We're going to have Maddie back on the show.
That's right.
And we're going to be talking Golden Globe noms.
That's right.
Because the Golden Globes will have, the nominations will have been announced the day before that.
Yeah, and
so,
last time we had Maddie on was also with Dalton, where we all talked about our way too early Oscar nominations.
That's right.
So this kind of just makes a lot of sense to bring Maddie back.
Yes.
Because this will give us a much more clear direct line.
A little bit more of a radar as to see what is kind of popping and what isn't.
Yeah.
Does Wicked get in there? It's not. We're going to see pretty big drop off. I mean, it killed it at the box office this past weekend.
Sure, but
I think we're going to have a pretty steep drop off from what my sources are telling me.
Yep.
Inside the Wicked community, not a lot of people are very happy. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I don't think it's going to get through to the Academy. We'll see. I think for sure Golden Globes, it should pop up there a few times.
For sure.
But
yeah.
Yeah, it'll give us a good radar to see sort of what's kind of going to...
What direction they're kind of heading in.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're not the best indicator, but they are... They give you a better idea at the very least.
And then it's Fast and Furious right until January 16th in terms of nominations. So I think it's the 16th. I'm pretty sure it's the 16th.
It might be, yeah.
But it's mid-January. I'm almost positive it's the 16th that Oscars come out. Anyway, that's a couple of house cleaning business.
Yep. Yeah. And it's interesting that we're going from talking about Wicked, which is just genuinely one of the biggest movies of the year.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about the complete opposite end of that spectrum.
That. Yeah.
We're going to be talking some indie filmmaking today.
Yes.
And particularly, we have a very special guest with us who goes by the name of Andrew Dodd, who is here with on behalf of Film London. Hello, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm just going to step out for a second. Is that okay? Mike can do my intro.
Yeah, I can do that. Sure, if you want. This is Andrew Dodd. He's got a great head of hair. And
does he ever? My
for
God.
Now.
And he's a very spiffy dresser and
yep.
One of the smartest guys in the circuit right now, and an awesome dude to talk to about film and all things, really, but definitely film and London-related film things. So, that's
the best intro I've ever had.
Yeah, dude, spiffy dresser, great hair, super smart.
Smart.
What more do you need to know?
Yeah, not a dating show, by the way.
I know. I appreciate you trying to set me up.
Yeah, I have to say something smart.
Yeah,
you set me up.
Well, you've got a whole hour, so we'll get
there. Able to come up with something in that time.
Yeah, people might. If any of the listeners came out to the Oscars night or broadcast that we did at the Highland Cinema, you will know Andrew as one of the hosts that was there alongside me and Ryan and Sam back in March
of this year.
It was March, right?
Yeah.
March.
Yeah.
So
I have a question for you, Andrew, to kick us off.
Yeah.
If someone is listening, hopefully,
I hope someone is.
No, dude, we have some listeners. Okay, don't.
Right,
yeah, we have some listeners.
It is fun. How many times? Cut in.
Go for
but,
it.
Like, it is fun to, because we have no metric on radio anyway. Of knowing who's listening to us, but we'll just get people that come out to us on the street and just be like,
literally happened to
that's
me.
That's your metric. Right?
That's our metric. Yeah. Word of mouth. Really,
it literally just happened to me either Friday or Saturday. Saturday.
Mm-hmm. How do they know it's you?
Well, I'll tell you. So I was I met up with a buddy outside of Diver, actually, and he said, "Oh, this is my friend so and so. I can't remember his name. He's from Toronto, but he's down for a weekend, just hanging out or whatever." I said, "Great." And he goes, "Oh, this is Mike. He runs the Highland Cinema here at, in London. He's the manager and programmer." I said, "Nice to meet you." He's like, "Hey, I've heard of you guys." I said, "Oh, really? How?" He's like, "Oh, I listen to Radio Western 94.9. I said, "Great." And he said, "Yeah, Outside the Frame." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm on that." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." And then there you go.
Okay. Right.
So that's how
it's
that
like
happened.
Pointing to you on the street, being like, "I know that voice."
No, that's not what it is. No.
I've had that happen once, and I think it was because I was in Highland Cinema, and someone heard me talking, and they were like,
"Hey,
you're that guy." And I was like, "Yeah, I guess so. I guess I am." So,
but you also do a lot of the ads and stuff too. So people, if they just tune in like randomly,
they'll ad guy.
You're one of a bunch, but definitely
but predominantly. Yeah,
there's a lot of Elijah. My question for you is, if someone just tuned in has no idea who Andrew is, what Film London is, can you just give us a quick like? Kind of what Film London does and what you kind of represent.
Once upon a time. yeah, for sure. So I usually start by saying Film London is London's, quote, official film office. And everyone goes, "Great, what does that mean? What do I have? We have one?" And it's like, "Yeah, we have a music office too. Did you know that?" Like,
yeah,
wow,
it's true.
Yeah, we do.
Yep.
Yeah, we do. We've had one for like a long time. You know, I wear many hats, but I'm employed by a company called the London Economic Development Corporation, which is an arm's length corporation from the City of London. So the City of London has essentially hired LEDC to spearhead and to, you know, start up economic development initiatives throughout the city, mostly industry attraction. So if a big company were to come and buy up some city lands, you know, chances are LEDC is involved in that deal, in that negotiation. So when a bunch of passionate people in London finally kind of got through and said, you know, we should have a film office, the council at that time said, "Great, okay, we can set some funding aside for that. Where's it going to go?"
Yeah.
And, you know, even the music office, I think, was bounced around at one point.
It was
Parks and Rec for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Music landed at tourism. Film landed at LEDC because of our contacts and our experience at sort of marketing the city. So off the bat, my job was like a salesperson, really, for London to productions, you know, outside of the city, Toronto, beyond, saying, "Hey, have you ever considered coming and filming your production in London?" On top of that, I've, you know, also made it my mission to make sure that we're supporting local filmmakers as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
So a couple of things that you guys have been involved in recently. You're always involved, heavily involved in the Forest City Film Festival.
Of course.
So that's you've been involved there. Also quite involved in at the Highland, whether it's sponsoring shows. You've done many film prints with us and sponsoring different events. So people may have seen your name or like Film London's name pop up on the Highland stuff. And then, as you said, there's a lot of it's sort of like connecting dots, I guess, would be a good way of kind of putting it, where if there's like a, you know, production that's happening in London, you might be able to connect with that, connect them to a location or a crew or whatever. So outside of the big stuff, because I know you're bringing in, you know, bigger productions and stuff, which is awesome. You also are doing some great work in the independent scene, which is what we're going to get to momentarily. But I just thought like that. I think that's really cool that you're involved in that and doing workshops and stuff too. Like you do like script writing workshops, right? And
that's right.
And tons of stuff like that.
Yeah, so. No, and I appreciate you saying that. What I like to tell people is that a win, quote, a win can look like several different things.
That's right.
So sometimes getting a show that's like a Netflix show, like FUBAR, mm-hmm. and it brings Carrie-Anne Moss and Arnold Schwarzenegger to the city. They're here for a few days. They shoot. That's a win in that, you know, it's a high-profile show. It kind of gets London on the map. They go back to wherever they're from, and they start talking about the experience they had in London. That's a win. But, you know, did they hire a lot of local crew? Not really. They stayed in our hotels. They gave the locations that they were here at, you know, rental fees. They probably used some of our local catering businesses. But a win can also look like a smaller budget, an indie film that wants to film the entire feature here in London. So they're here for like 12 to 15 days. And they're usually the ones that are going to do, you know, all their locations here in London. They're going to hire as many local crew as they can. Maybe there's not a big celebrity name in there. Maybe it doesn't get as high profile around the province, but it hires our local crew. It gives people our experience and it builds that crew base here, right? So yeah. That's just two kind of different examples of what a win can look like. They're both valuable.
For sure. Yeah. Do you, you mentioned that when you first started, it was basically you being a salesperson and like almost like akin to cold calling, trying to sell London. Has that kind of reversed now? Like, do you now get the people that are reaching out to you and they're saying like, oh, we're interested. And then you have to set that up?
Yeah, it was. It took probably a year. I've been doing this 4 years now, and it took the first year was probably just talking to producers and kind of wading through the muck to see what stuff was genuine and what stuff wasn't. So if you can get someone on a call, that's always a good thing. But they would tell you probably what you wanted to hear. And I was hearing it over and over again, like, well, make sure that you've got some good locations and make sure you've got crew as much as you can. And these things would be attractive to getting productions to us. Okay, that's good. And I'm not saying those are wrong. That's true.
Right.
But that isn't enough. And finally, I talked to a producer whose name I won't say, said, look, he said, I went to Western. He said, you don't need to sell me on London's locations. I know they're great, and I know we could make they're untapped, right? They're not familiar. You haven't seen them in a lot of MOWs already. But
movie of the week.
Movie of the week.
Yeah, thank you.
Our audience knows that, I'm sure. But he said, what's the cost? He said, we got to bring our keys because we're just going to bring our keys. We're going to work with the people that we know and the heads of the departments. But he said, I'd love to come there, but it's going to cost me, you know, $100,000 or more just to pick up those people and move them down the highway. Even if it's 90 minutes down the highway, there's costs there that we don't normally budget for, and we don't want to budget for them. And people don't want to sleep in a hotel when they can work in their, you know, in their own city and sleep in their own bed. So he said, you got to find the incentives beyond that to kind of level, just even it out, like level the playing field. We can stay in Hamilton. Yeah, we're going to use locations that we've used before, but we know how they work. Mm-hmm. We know that they do work in our crews in Hamilton.
And it's going to save money.
It's going to save money. Yeah. So why would we come to London? I thought, thank you, finally, for being honest, because now I can identify what some of the real barriers are and how can we start to break that down.
Wow. Yeah. And so like the rest of the, you said that was like the first year. So the rest of the 3 years are you find are breaking those barriers down or have been
finding out how to break those barriers down.
And clearly achieving it because we are getting some really, like you said, some high budget names and some high budget productions that are coming to London. So
yeah.
Now moving on to what I think we are all here for today. The main purpose of what we are all here for today is something that you
fun
is something so much fun.
Yeah, it is
so
great.
Exciting. I was happy that we got to talk about it because it actually hasn't been officially announced yet. This would technically, I think, be the first time. So an exclusive, if you will,
exclusive.
But it'll be a collaboration.
I'm nervous. What are you talking about?
It's a collaboration between Film London and Highland Cinema, and it's called the London Indie Film Initiative. So to people listening who don't know, can you explain to them what this looks like, what it is, what it looks like? Maybe both of your inputs would be great since you're both so heavily involved in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so as we kind of were talking about before, like Andrew and Film London's been involved in you know, a bunch of different Highland events. And, you know, we actually Outside the Frame and Andrew and Film London co-hosted the Oscar event, as you mentioned. So you've been in and around, you know, our little neck of the woods over at the Highland for a bit. And you know, over the course of, I don't know, probably a year, year and a half or so, we've kind of been talking, Andrew and I, and, you know, he's always interested in the independent stuff, what's coming through, what's being shot in London, what's being produced in London. So, and we've, like, as the Highland, have seen a growth in independent films coming through our doors, meaning premieres or London premieres. It could be world premieres. We've done all of those things. And that is a sign of filmmakers being based in London and actually making movies in and around London, and then picking, which we're very glad, and I'm very glad with, picking the Highland as their destination. Like, we've had, you know, the last couple of years, we've had filmmakers say, we're not even going to go to any film festivals. We want to premiere at you, at the Highland. So, you know, tell us, like, you know, and I always, you know, when's your movie going to be done? Let's set it up, right? And that's happened multiple times. And it's yeah, we've just seen a pretty steady growth, I would say, between 2023 and 2025. As we, you know, it's going from, you know, it was going like one or two post COVID, and now I think in 2025 we did like five,
wow,
or six, you know, like five for sure that I can think of. So, and that is like purely sort of in and around London based filmmakers like premiering or showing films. So that's pretty cool. And you know, we just thought, you know, with the, you know, then there was the economic side of things where we see the rise in minimum wage,
mm-hmm,
right? Everyone's prices has to go up.
That's how
so
that works.
It,
yeah,
takes more money to make a movie, and it's harder to get, you know, more bang for your buck now. So with, you know, when we were talking, like, all of a sudden, I was like, hey, our rental prices are going to go up, right? And I'm worried that we're going to price out some of the films and independent filmmakers that, you know, because we can't do it for nothing either, because we're a business, we are a for-profit business. We're not a non-for-profit, right? The Highland is a for-profit business.
Yeah.
My job is to get butts in seats. Yeah, I say that a lot. If I don't get butts in seats, we're not having this conversation. And so that's what my job is. So I don't want to price or have our prices go in a way where they're gonna look somewhere else in,
yeah,
London, or even go outside of London and start looking at other, mm-hmm, options. Yeah. Because I really do think, and I'm, of course, people may say I'm biased, but I think what we offer on the back end, and by back end, I mean like logistically from a tech standpoint, is something that no other theater or place in London offers.
For sure.
I'll defend that like to anyone. So like very, very simply and easily with examples. And as what do the kids say? Receipts?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
So,
you got it.
So that I think is something that is really important to the filmmaker, is like, what, you can't just bring in a DVD or a single file of your movie and be like, play our movie. Like it's you know, there's a lot that goes into doing an independent premiere, because they're not a studio. They don't have. And they're not like a big filmmaker or a big place that has hundreds of thousands of dollars that they can just throw at problems. They have to solve their problems, right? So hopefully what we're, and why we're here, and now I'll let Andrew talk a little bit, but the idea is that Highland and Film London are coming together to offer an independent film initiative, meaning that you are going to, if you finished a feature film and if it's London based, mm-hmm, you will be able to go on the Film London website, filmlondon.ca, I believe is the website. There will be a form there, and you can fill out that form. And that form is going to be looked at by the Highland and Andrew and Film London. And we're going to choose some projects that submit to us to premiere at or to show at the Highland, and they will be, and your cost is going to be subsidized by 50% by Film London. So it is going to hopefully make things actually more affordable than they've actually even been in the past, which is awesome. And it's a great, I think, partnership between Highland and Film London and the filmmakers themselves to help subsidize their overhead costs, get them in the door in a theater that cares about their experience in terms of what their film looks and sounds like, and, you know, all the bells and whistles that go into making something like their night a special night, right? So that's, I guess, the Cole's Notes version of what we're trying to do. I don't know if you want to add anything, and we how much more in detail we want to go, but there is something I want to get to. But before that, is there anything that I missed?
That should be your slogan.
Yeah.
The Highland Cinema, a theater that cares. You know,
I'd wear a shirt with that.
We do, though, cares. And
oh,
it's,
yeah,
and
sure.
It's genuine. And I tell you, it comes from a genuine place, because a lot of us have come from film backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Me specifically, coming from a feature film background, I've made feature films, whether that's writing, directing, or producing, in three different countries. So I've been around.
Three. What's the third?
Ukraine.
Very nice.
Ukraine.
Did not know that.
Ukraine, U.S., and Canada.
Okay.
I'm international, baby.
Hey, let's go.
And now I'm the gym teacher of filmmakers. So but what it does do is I know from experience what a good experience is from the filmmaker's perspective and what a bad experience is, what kinds of things they're looking for, what kind of support that they're looking for. One of the biggest things is, how do I not pay all of this money to and have my costs go up so much that I can't afford to show my film and I have to do it in my living room to 10 of my friends who don't give a shit.
right.
How do I publicly show this movie?
Yeah. Which is kind of where Film London would come into this.
Yeah, that's where I'll jump in just quickly and say, again, a win looks like a bunch of different things. So, you know, strictly from an economic development standpoint, you know, someone in my position that could say that their job is just to bring in dollars from outside of town, because economically speaking, you know, foreign direct investment or money outside of London looks different than money within London being moved around. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about here today, but that could be what the job is. But I think, you know, it's my responsibility to also make sure that the London filmmakers are empowered, and, you know, something that I think would incentivize someone to make their movie is knowing that once it's done,
absolutely,
you can see it on the big screen. So, you know, I went to Fanshawe 12 years ago. I took the advanced filmmaking program there. And as a graduate, I didn't want to go to Toronto. Like, there's nothing wrong with Toronto. Maybe. I don't know. Depends on what you're looking for. Nothing against Toronto, but I had established myself in London. I had roots. I was a mature student. And I just thought, Toronto's not for me. How do I live in London and continue to appreciate and work in film while being in London? So whenever I'm wondering what the strategic plan for my job is, I always go back to that as my root, as my blueprint. And I think, what did I need as an emerging filmmaker to get me motivated, to get me incentivized, to get my creative juices flowing? And that mindset has inspired me to come up with a few, like screenwriting. That's why I do screenwriting workshops, because I'm like, coming up with an idea is free.
Yeah.
Right? That's something anyone can do, as long as you've got a laptop or a typewriter. You can write down your ideas and come up with a decent script if you know what you're doing. So, and then a premiere, I thought, that's one of them. Everybody wants to showcase what they've done and get that feedback from people and have the experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's also really special. Like, you know, I can remember every time my film, any film that I've ever done has shown publicly, I know exactly when that was and which film they were. Right.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's like,
and it's a very special experience. And to be able to see that, it really is the culmination of everything that team and filmmaker or filmmakers have been working towards. That's the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And unfortunately, and I hate to break hearts, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, unfortunately, you guys aren't even close to being done yet. Like, so then there's other conversations past that of like the film is never, like, it will never leave you. It will always, like, be something you're working on. I don't mean, like, remaking the movie or recutting the film, but, like, it keeps going.
For sure. And once you've finished your film, that's not the end of the journey.
I mean, because this is the next step, right?
Yep.
As Andrew was talking, okay, that's the next, okay, you have this very special night. That's great. Okay, but then do you want distribution? What does that look like?
Mm.
All your deliverables. Well, a lot of times independent filmmakers either don't know or don't have the deliverables that they need. So you actually have to then go back in and start doing your deliverables. Okay, that's great. Maybe you get a deal, right? Maybe you do all that stuff. Okay, great. Oh, and we're done. Yeah, but you signed a 5-year deal. So in 5 years, all of a sudden the rights are going to come up, you know, at wherever, whether it's a company or a streaming service, whatever. Maybe you just did a 5-year thing. Now you have to deal with that all over again. Or maybe they want approval on maybe you've signed a deal where you get approval over things. So now they make art and they make the little caption thing and they do, oh, by the way, you don't have captions. Well, are they going to pay for it? Or are you going to pay for it? Are you going to get it done? It never ends.
Right.
Right.
But so, what it sounds like anyway is that, yeah, like that is a huge process, especially because you have to think about distribution, how,
yeah,
you're going to get more eyes on this movie and this,
yeah,
this project that you've worked so hard, you and your team and crew have worked so hard on. But this almost seems like it would help with that kind of
100%.
Stuff, because it shows, okay, this is how many seats we sold at the Highland when we were able to take part in this initiative. So with those metrics, it might actually be able to help them with, you know, the further problems that they might run into. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's that. You're right. And we're also gonna offer two different ways you can screen it as well, which is you can,
okay,
do it as a public screening. So as in sell tickets and get people out and put butts in seats and we advertise and you advertise and we do all this great stuff. Awesome. But sometimes people don't want to do that because it ruins, if depending on the filmmaker, depending on the film, they might want to do, maybe they're focused on, film festivals. So technically that's a world premiere. Technically that's a Canadian premiere and a London premiere. So you're all three wrapped up into that one thing. And a lot of smaller films don't get accepted unless they're offering to film festivals unless they're offering a world premiere or at least a Canadian premiere or whatever.
So that means no one's paid publicly to see this movie before. So as soon as,
right,
you show it anywhere public and sell tickets,
yep,
a lot of festivals will not accept it.
That's right. So we're going to, mm-hmm, offer a cast crew screening.
Oh, okay.
Essentially. So what that means is that it's not public, like no one will know that it's happening. And it's essentially a cast crew screening. You get to get to see the movie on the big screen. It doesn't ruin your chances of getting into film festivals because it's not a public, it's not for the public. And it's a private screening. And so that's another way. And again, that a lot of filmmakers can be scared. And why I bring the delineation up between the two is a lot of film, especially independent filmmakers who don't have a lot of money, are scared of doing those things because the private screening, you also don't get any kickback for that. You're paying for the space and you're not bringing in any money to yourself as the filmmaker.
With that being said, is there a pricing difference?
No.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to save money and still have that experience because the other thing too is time. Like if you're finished the movie, but it just depends on when during the year you finish the film, you might not get into a film festival until the next year, right?
Right.
So so that means that you get to, you know, show it off to your friends and family and to the cast and crew and you know, get it on the big screen, see how it looks. You may want to change things too, like the movies can change,
mm-hmm,
like maybe the color's not right or the sound isn't quite right, or maybe you get a bunch of feedback from a story standpoint, and you know that happens all the time in the industry, like even in for big films, right? As I was saying, a lot of independent filmmakers don't have the money to throw into something like that and not see,
right,
anything back, right? So then they're conflicted. Well, do I try and get into a film festival and that's showing next year? My film's just going to sit on the shelf for a year. or do I ruin my chances of getting into that by doing a premiere in which I am able to show it publicly and see some funds back if I market it correctly and get people out to pay money to see my movie. But then I could, as I said, ruin my chances to get into, you know, a film festival. So
right.
Those are the two different options we're going to offer filmmakers to hopefully, again, incentivize people to, not only make films, but show them in a space that is awesome and on the big screen, which is important.
Which is which is everything to some filmmakers. I do want to get into a little bit more. I have a couple more questions to ask both of you about this, but we are going to cut to commercial break very quickly. Stay tuned, and we will be right back with Outside the Frame after these messages. Don't go anywhere. .94.9 Radio Western. We are back with Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. We are here with Andrew Dodd of Film London, and of course Mike, as always, talking about the London Indie Film Initiative. Film London and Highland have collaborated to put together. So we're just kind of going through what it is, how to apply to this, just because this is this is the first time it has been publicly announced that this is happening. And so I do, before I get into my questions, I do, of course, want to read, we did get a text message during the break that said,
see, people are listening.
Highland Cinema. Highland is the only theater in town I'll ever go to.
Oh, thank you very much.
I have no idea who this is either. I can't even tell from the other. Usually you can tell because they're a constant texter in, or I don't know what to call them, but constant listener. But yeah, so thank you very much for texting in. I really appreciate that. One question that I did want to ask in particular is people have to go online. They'll apply. Mm-hmm. How do they get selected? Is there a committee that it has to go through? Is there a criteria that they have to meet? Obviously, I know you've mentioned already that the film has to be completed, but mm-hmm. what about goes into selecting which projects actually get put on the big screen?
Well, I mean, at any point come to the Highland and you know, have a normal rental if you'd like. In this particular case, we do have to have some things that we are going to go through to that Andrew will talk about here in a second. But so it's not like we're stopping renting to independent or filmmakers. We're only doing this.
Right.
This is an added thing that is cool. But there are a couple of parameters.
Yeah. Well, since, you know, Film London is a company that ultimately is sponsored by the tax base, we want to make sure that we're prioritizing London filmmakers. So Mike and I scratched our heads over this and thought, what's fair and who should be eligible? So ultimately, I don't have them in front of me, but on the website, when this launches, it's not open yet. When you fill out the form, there's a couple of questions about, there's certain criteria that they have to have met. So it was, I think it's 75% of the shooting locations have to be London locations, or 75% of your crew have to have lived in London at the time that it was being filmed, something to that effect. Just again, because the whole initiative, the whole point of it is to celebrate London film.
Right.
So from our office, you know, that was really the only sort of criteria, and they will have to sort of list the locations that they worked on, and if
of course,
they can, any names of people, just so that we can kind of fact check it and verify it a little bit. And then from the actual facility standpoint, I'll let Mike speak to this, but it's really kind of like availability,
right?
It's going to come down to that. If you're looking to show your movie on Christmas Day or something, I don't know. The theater may not be available.
Right. Sorry, I was just looking through the form just to make sure. And yes, all those things you said were correct. So the scheduling is a big thing.
Of course,
as Andrew said. Also, we're looking at feature films.
Yeah,
so not short films.
Not short films. So that is over 70 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta be over 70.
Now, we did say that it's 70 plus minutes of content.
Correct. Film.
So if you have strung several short films together into and, what could be a feature.
Yeah,
correct.
At that point, it's like an anthology.
Yeah,
movie.
Like Creepshow so, could be shown.
Correct. So that's right. And we actually did in October have an anthology film that was shot in London, a show at the Highland. So yes, but we're not looking for like if you have a film and you did it and
you can't rent it for 15 minutes.
No, you can't. We're not doing 15 minute. No, yeah. This is feature. So. As Andrew said, if you have an anthology of films that you want to show, great. But we're looking for 70 minutes or more in terms of the film itself as one contained
the
thing.
Content.
Yeah.
Right.
So feature film, you got the London either location or crew. You got the time of when it would work. Those are like the big things. In terms of... Because I know there's probably one or two people that would listen to this and think, well, quality, is that come into play? Not really. In terms of, like, if it's...
Content. The content quality, we don't...
The
right.
Content of the film, we just... it's pretty cut and dry, just, like, no
we
porn.
We
want
to celebrate. Yeah.
Like,
it's not going to be hate speech or pornography.
Yeah, right.
It won't be tolerated. But.
Yeah. So pretty much like I mean, if you're doing a horror film, great. If you're doing a rom-com, great. If it's a drama, great. Like if it's a movie... If it's a movie, then
that can be legally shown.
Yes.
Asterisk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Then you're
eligible.
You're eligible. Yeah. So in terms of actually picking, I mean, that's something that it's interesting you asked that question because Andrew and I talked about this early on, too. And I like that would in order to pick. This is what I brought up. OK, in order to pick, that would mean that there would have to be more than six films that were shot and produced in London in the independent space that were able to be released in 2026. That's an insane amount.
Right.
So,
right. But, you know, maybe down the line, right?
Right. But we're not talking down the line. We're
Fair.
Talking 2026
okay.
right now, right?
Yeah.
So if
this
you're
is
looking
kind of a pilot.
This is a pilot, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it like essentially what it's a subtextually what I'm saying is apply and then
yeah,
it's
we'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll talk.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
here's the thing, like there's like I said, there, in order to have like, I mean, we're not London isn't Toronto. London isn't, you know, that like that's not the space we're in. I know of a few different films that are either going to be ready or are ready to be shown in a public space in 2026 that were produced or made in London. So. I mean, but I don't know 10 of them.
Right.
Right. And I'm not saying I personally know every film that's shot in London. But again, like, it's not like we have 30 movies to choose from because we have 30 independent. I mean, it's making a movie is hard. Also, like I said, we're not in the production stage. We're not in the pre-production stage. Essentially, these films, unless you're going to camera in like January, February, these films would probably have been shot in 2024 or 2025 mm-hmm. to be ready in 2026, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that, like, it's impossible. You can get a movie done inside of 12 months, but, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Peace and love. It's possible. But, like I said, you know, the subtext here is apply if you're a person that has that movie.
And to your question, Elijah, I think it's like there isn't really a committee because we want everybody. Like if you,
right.
if
Correct.
You check, if
yes.
The parameters are very small.
Yeah.
Or no, they're very wide.
They're very wide.
They're very wide.
The,
so we're not
the amount
be,
of boxes are small.
The amount of that's what I was yeah, trying to say. Yeah. yeah. So it's basically like come one, come all. And if
yeah.
we can find a date that works and your movie meets all the outlined criteria, you're in.
Yeah.
yeah. Wow.
The it must be approved by Film London and Highland.
Of course.
So, but those are the approval process is those things. Now, if by some insane miracle we get 10 submissions, films ready to be shown in 2026, we'll have a different conversation, right?
Mm.
But that would be crazy.
Right,
but
your
because,
yeah,
because you know,
your
yeah.
goal right now is just to get as many people to submit as possible. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Which you've already yeah. outlined is quite hard to do.
If we have five or six, that would be I would be like, wow, that's crazy because that, like I said, we're not looking. This isn't like, oh, we're gonna set this date for you know, 2027 or 2028. We're looking for 2026, you know, premieres or screenings, right? So that, again, we're in a window that is that or in a space that isn't like, you know, crowded, we'll say.
Right.
If yeah. we think that there's so many applicants that we have to start choosing between them.
Yeah.
Like we can either show A or we can show B.
Yeah.
If that were to come, then we might have a conversation about a committee and
yeah.
you know, certain boxes you have to check. But for a pilot, there yet. That's
for 2026, we want to launch. The biggest thing was having this thing ready to go on filmlondon.ca so that it exists for 2026. You know, I thought I knew enough of, I would say, a couple of, like I mentioned before, a couple of productions that I thought were would think to be ready for 2026. So I thought, okay, you know, there's at least two or three, maybe four that could be ready to go, and that would be a success, right?
Right.
So yeah, we're not where this isn't, and we're gonna see how 2026 goes, and yeah, that's the big thing. Speaking of it being ready to go, we are having a public announcement event. Maybe Andrew can talk a little bit more about that. But it's next week. So
that's next week. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Wow. My God.
Yeah. So Film London hosts one or two mixers every single year. They just started off as sort of connection pieces. We heard the ecosystem was a bit fractured. So it was like, let's bring everybody together. Who doesn't know everybody? So we've been doing those. We introduced like a speed networking aspect. We had invited different companies to come and filmmakers to kind of come and have, you know, a few minutes with each of them. And then we rung a bell every 2 minutes and you had to move. That was fun. We've got one coming up just over a week from now, Thursday, December the 4th. It's going to be at Innovation Works, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. You have to register. So I know I'm announcing it like, just come on down.
Come on down, but just make sure you register.
Yeah, help us out a little bit.
Yeah, there is a link and we'll get to where to find it. But anyway, there's going to be, this one's a holiday mixer and there's going to be a series of events or announcements that we're going to be making. One of which is going to be this initiative. We're launching our new Film London website.
Very awesome. Nice.
Yeah, so the application will be on the new website. It's not on the current website. And there's one or two other special things that I won't get into, so you got to come to the event to hear about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got to leave them with a little something, right? You got to leave them with a teaser to come out.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that it's going to be on the new website. Is there a specific date that you can say it will be on the new website so that people can start applying?
The goal... I have to choose my wording carefully. The
goal
is that the website will 100% all the bugs and kinks worked out by this event on December the 4th. So it's going to launch a little bit before that so we can do kind of a soft launch.
Mm-hmm.
But by Thursday, Deck 4, the new website will be up. Everyone's profiles, an email has already gone out if you had a listing on the old website to update your profile for the new website. So hopefully everyone will be on there up to date and the form will be launched officially on December the 4th. If you want to come, email information@filmlondon.ca because there's an event link and a password we need to give you. We want everybody to come, but we want it to be in the film space. So we just email and say, I'm a filmmaker. And then otherwise you get people showing up like, where are the donuts, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And like as Andrew said, it's very easy. We want people to be excited
to come in
to hear all of these announcements. As Andrew said, it is an industry mixer as well.
Yeah.
So information at
filmlondon.ca
to register to come out for that. So there is not a cover. Is that correct? There's
no
cover.
No
nothing.
Cover.
But
as
you
long
have
as you're
to register.
Tied to the industry.
Yes.
And you have to register. Yeah.
Yeah. That's important. Yeah.
Some very exciting stuff happening. So,
yeah. It's
guys,
awesome.
That's awesome.
That's December 4th.
Yes.
Innovation Works. 6 p.m. start time.
Mm-hmm.
You can show up a little fashionably late. You know, you want to get there about 6:30, right? Till 10 p.m. So
till 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 6 to
and
10
then we
p.m.
kick you out.
And at 10
you
it's
don't
a
have
hard
to go home.
Yeah.
But
then you can go over to Holy Diver. It's right over there.
Or
exactly.
Any of the fine establishments
that are happening.
The big after party.
But this event is 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. December 4th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Yes.
4 hours.
And we'll mark the official launch of the London Indie Film Initiative.
Correct. And the website.
And the website.
And an industry mixer. and some other awesome announcements.
And the website they can go to if they have any other questions or they need to find any other information, they could probably go to the website as well. I assume there's a landing page there as well for the initiative.
Yep, there's actually, just by going on to filmlondon.ca, there's a contact form at the foot of every page on that website, and they all lead to information at filmlondon.ca. So
there you go.
All roads lead to home.
Very nice. So if you're out there and you've got your – and you're either got you – you've either got – your finished, completed project, or you're just about to, this is what you got to do. Now you know where to go. December 4th.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, this is a great initiative.
Yeah, and we're super pumped about this and what this could mean for independent filmmakers here in London. And
I love working with these guys. The guys, Mike and Moira at the Highland and the rest of the staff, I think we're all on the same page. It's always felt collaborative.
Yep.
They've always listened to my feedback, and I try to listen to theirs. And at the end of the day, I really think our philosophies are aligned, which is really – and they're the only independent – there's that word again
mm-hmm. –
independent theater in London. So
they're
it's
all
really
right.
easy to support them.
They're all right.
Well, the thing that
– I had to say Mike because he's sitting right
Of course, of course. Yeah, yeah. When he's gone later, we can talk
the
about
thing it. That's important, I think, to mention and why this – why I'm so happy that this is happening and why that feeling is reciprocated, I think, at least for me. Is Andrew's a guy of action. There's people that talk a lot, especially in London. Andrew's a guy that makes shit happen.
Mm.
And that is close to me because I am the same kind of type of person. If there's a good idea I and it makes sense, like, let's do it. We don't need to beat around the bush and hum and haw about it for 5 years about this, that, and the other thing. It was that, you know, hey, we kicked this around. There was a few other things happening, and it kind of got shelved for a little bit of time, and then we were just like, you know what, let's just do it. Because
we met in the summer, and it was like, now's the time.
Let's
go.
And that's the thing. In order to get to this place, it wasn't like we sat down last week and we're like, hey, we should do this thing.
Right.
Like, this was multiple meetings. This was Andrew doing a lot of legwork, with the form, and he's working on the website as a whole anyway, which is a whole other thing that he had to deal with. But like I said, this has been like, you know, 5-6 months, you know, and then even before that, it's something we had kicked around for a little while. So, but anyway, my point is
do it properly, but do it.
But
well,
do
course,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was that's one of the things that I appreciate and why I love working with Andrew is because it's like, hey, let's do, like, if we're going to do it, like, let's do it and let's, you know, let's put it into action now. It's, and that's the kind of person I am. Like, I just, like, hey, if we're going to do a thing, let's just do the thing. You want to do trivia? Hey, let's do a trivia and we're going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or the film initiative thing, like that's how I operate as well. So that's one thing I really appreciate and love working with Andrew, because I know if I like sit down with Andrew, he's also one of the busiest people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
So
makes sense.
So I know if I lock him down for a coffee meeting, I better be bringing some heat, because if I don't, like, I don't want to waste this guy's time. You know what I mean?
Those are productive meetings.
Yeah.
No, we walk out of there with a plan.
Yeah. At least Absolutely. Some a semblance of like, okay, here's what we need to get to, or here's where we got to go, right?
Yeah.
And so that's something I really appreciate. And one of the reasons why I love working with Andrew.
It's the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just love seeing collaborations between, you know, establishments that work well together, and that, I don't know, at least maybe I've just because I've been working at Radio Western for so long, and you know, we're also we're a community radio station, so we help, you know, build up the community. We're here for the community, so you know, it's good to see other, you know, establishments that are so involved and interested in helping London and Londoners and people with this film passion kind of collaborate and get it all together.
And I think you're trying to wrap up, and I'm gonna let you do that.
Oh, we got a few minutes.
We got some time.
Well, I thought we got other topics to get to. But anyway,
no.
But what I want to say to that is, because it's a great point, and helping each other. So I've been on, Mike's heard this, and I've been on this kick lately, but to all Londoners listening, if I have any words of wisdom to give all of us, myself included, is, you know, be open to collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have ideas. We all have some great ideas. We all have some less than great ideas as well. So
all of mine are good.
Some of them should, some of them should be pursued.
Yeah.
But we can also get lost down our own vortex of, this is my idea, and I'm gonna, and it should be this.
It's mine.
It's mine, mm-hmm. and I want to. And it's like, there's collaboration. So it's like all things in life, it's a balance. And don't forget the other people in town that are also passionate or maybe doing something similar. Maybe people have tried to do what you're doing. I think that's the other thing is that we all think no one's done this before, right? Like, yeah. I'm going to come in and I'm going to be the one to fix it. And I'm going to be the one to clean this up and stake my flag in the ground. And it's like, lots of people have tried this before. Other people are thinking of these things too. No man is an island, you know? So reach out to fellow organizations and see how you can support each other. It's going to take some give and take. You're going to make some sacrifices. But ultimately, we'll all be stronger if we can learn how to work together.
Especially in a creative scene, I just find that like collaboration often leads to some of the best, I mean, whether it is like some of the best films. I mean, no, like I couldn't think of a single film that was only done every single aspect by one single person.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Exactly. It's just way too much. Music is a different thing, I suppose. But like even then, any of the best pieces of music that I can think of are from a collaborative.
But it's one of the, if not the reason why film is the greatest art form, because it's every art form in one, right? So any kind of art form that you can think of that's ever been invented by humans, right, is in film. That's why it's the greatest.
And it invented some new ones like editing, right? Orson Welles always said editing was an art form that spawned from cinema.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. So anything that it is, and so why it's so complicated is because you have these two forces that are competing against each other, which is it's so collaborative because it has to be by nature. It has to be because it's impossible to do a film. Impossible to do a film by yourself. At the same time, the films that suffer, whether it's big or small, suffer mainly because there's too many cooks in the kitchen. It's actually too collaborative, right? So what do you do? I came up with this term. I think I'm the first person to use it. I don't know.
Right after Andrew just said, you know, everyone has these ideas. They always think they're the first person.
I don't know. I could be.
Trademark this,
Mike. I have to trademark it. It's called empathetic fascism. Okay. So
wow.
So
wow. Can't wait to see.
I'm googling it. I'm googling it right now.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone said those two words together, but that's how I feel about filmmaking.
Okay. Explain this newly made term.
It has to be a single vision. But that single vision has to take into account other people and be empathetic to other people and be open to other people. Any good filmmaker, any good director will tell you, like, you know, oh, this person brought this and this person brought that and that person. And it wasn't just me, right? Even the most narcissistic filmmaker will tell, like, I mean, if you look at Tarantino will literally say his movies aren't his movies without his editor.
That's right.
And Scorsese would say the same thing. Quentin's the most narcissistic human being that's probably ever existed when it comes to film, right? Mm. And his film specifically. And he still says, I can't do it without this other person, right? So it's like this, but his films are so such a singular vision, right? And it's like, how do you marry those two things, right? Because like I said, like, it's nice. Everything is nice and awesome if you say, and I'm talking in the film space specifically, not outside of that. In a film space specifically, well, I'm here to take everyone's ideas, and I'm here, and it's I'm going to be open to everyone's ideas, and everyone's making this film. Well, that's not only impossible to happen, but it's also not true because if you're the filmmaker, it's your idea. So that's a weird, like kind of passive aggressive way to get people to work on your and care about your stuff, right? Because the person that is coming on set for 2 weeks is not thinking about your movie before those 2 weeks and will not think about your movie after those 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So or the 3 weeks or whatever, right? So, and it's the same in post-production, it's the same on all of those spaces. So to say all those things, that's really, so essentially what you're saying is give me your opinion on a thing that I'm going to work on for the next 5 years and I'm going to make wild decisions based on what you're going to say. And then actually you don't really care about the thing because you're never going to think about it again. And now I have to live with that thing, right?
Right.
And this is something that a lot of young filmmakers come to the realization of because it's a small film or like a short film or a feature is like, yeah, I listen to too many people.
Right.
Right. Or I interpret it also as I didn't communicate the thing that I wanted in the right way, right? Which is a huge thing, right? And that's where a lot of problems stem from. Small or large production, being able to communicate that thing properly. I want this table to be blue, and it can only be blue, right? Are you being clear with the way that you're communicating the things that need to get done? Because here's the thing. You can sit around and say, hey, there's five people here. What color do you want this table? You could talk about that for 5 hours. I mean, that's not productive. That's you're not making a movie, right? It's blue. That's my vision. It's blue. How can we make that happen? How can we, the five of us, make this table blue so it helps the movie? That, right? It's a singular vision, but you're empathetic to other people's ideas and contributions to the film, right? Because it's weird. It's not a democracy. A film set is, and making a movie is not a democracy. Not a democracy. It also it cannot happen if it's a dictatorship either. It's impossible.
Right.
It's impossible if because none of those people will listen, will work for that person, because that person will be a huge butt, right? B-U-T-T, yeah. A butthole, right? So no one wants to work for
I appreciate
that,
you censoring right? yourself on there.
Right? So it's like, how do you make those...
Spelling it for us.
Yeah.
How,
yeah.
How do you make those things happen together, right? That's why it's such a difficult art form, not only because it's so complicated, you're taking all our art forms and putting into one, but also this idea of collaboration inside of film.
Compromise.
And also still it being like a singular vision of a person, right? Or two people sometimes, but really it's usually just a single person.
Yeah.
It's insanely hard. Anyone who's ever tried it is like, this is the hardest thing that's ever happened. Like,
yes,
you know.
It is true. But that's why these types of initiatives and these types of organizations are here to help kind of,
100%.
You know, it's a hard thing, but this gives you at least one step that makes
one
it just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit easier.
A little bit
easier.
You know,
easier. And a little bit more fun and a little bit more, hey, I don't, you know, if I get into this thing, maybe we can, you know, it might spawn something, or it might, you know, we were talking about Clerks before air, and, you know, Clerks was totally independently made, financed and made, and went to a film festival without any studio interference or additional
funds. What was the
budget
on Clerks?
$27,000 in credit card money.
Wow.
Yeah. In
91?
91. 92.
Okay. Now we're going down a path that we got to be careful with, because I get a lot of first-time filmmakers approaching me, asking for advice or whatever.
Yeah.
And they all point to Clerks or Halloween or these really low budget El Mariachi or
El Mariachi's probably the lowest of them all.
Of the yes, of them all that people have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, even those ones, you still have to do it right. Like, you still have to have a good story and good performances. And
relative to the thing that
you're
doing.
You don't need to break the bank. Yes.
Yes.
But you still got to be smart with it.
You have to be smart with it. The sacrifice that goes into what that is crazy. And that's a lot of people want the thing without going through
Dark Star.
The absolute gauntlet of insanity that it is. You brought up El Mariachi. Do you guys know how Robert Rodriguez got that $7,000 even to start making that movie?
No, I do not.
It was drug testing. He went to a drug testing place for certain periods of time. This is, I mean, I would encourage anyone listening to go and read or listen to Rebel Without a Crew.
But don't do this.
It's unbelievable. So there's places where they have to test, like, drugs on people. And I don't mean recreational drugs. I mean, like, they come out with a new...
Pharmaceuticals.
They come out with a new Tylenol. They have to test it out on a bunch of people. Well, they pay people to do that. So essentially, you sit in a room for X amount of time. Every test is different.
Make sure that you don't grow a third eye or something.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly. And
if
that,
you do,
in that,
paid.
Not the end of the world.
Yeah.
That's right. And in that period of time, you get to just sit there and do the thing that they... And essentially, it's very boring, but you get paid to do that. Now, this is what Rodriguez did, and what that did give him was time to write his script. So he collected all this money, famously $7,000. That was the production budget, very specifically. That was the production budget. And the idea was to go to make this film specifically for the Mexican video market, this action movie. And he was going to do it in a way that, like, he was going to be able to do it for $7,000, right? And that's how he got the movie. Just to get that money is sacrifice. You're sacrificing time, your body, your mind, just to get, and then that's it. You haven't even started making the movie yet. And then the process of making the movie, it's incredible. Everyone should go and read Rebel Without a Crew. It's one of the best books written on independent filmmaking. You can also find it on Spotify too. Not that this is an ad for Rodriguez, but he reads it.
Can we get him to cut a check?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But he reads it and it's awesome. Yeah. He adds all this extra stuff that isn't in the original book. It's awesome. So anyways, I wanted to mention that the sacrifice that has to go into that, into something like that, even something like Clerks, where, you know, Kevin Smith drops out of school. He lies to the credit card companies in order to get the balance up that he needed to, and in multiple different credit cards. How he did that was he worked at the place, right, at the convenience store. But he worked there so much that he manned the phones. So when, this is back in the day, but you had to like mail in and apply to a credit card company, and they would call to verify your information. Well, guess who was working at the desk?
Right.
Yeah, Kevin's a great owner. Yeah, he's an amazing owner of this convenience store, right? So that's how he got his balance up, by being a 22 or 23-year-old kid.
Right.
And then he collects all these, you know, four or five different credit cards, you know, and maxes them all out, gets 27 grand, and makes Clerks.
What was his background in film? Did he take...
He went to the Vancouver film school.
Okay. So he had some education. He knew
but he
some
only
people.
Went there for a year, and he went there with Scott. That's the producer. Scott ended up finishing, Scott Mosier ended up finishing the film school. Kevin did not. He said, I'm out after, I think it was a year or 8 months or something. He's like, I have to go make my movie. So he came back to New Jersey, wrote the script, started working on the movie. Scott finishes up school. They come back together. They start making Clerks and shoot Clerks.
Okay.
And the only reason why they made Clerks is because Kevin finished the script first before Scott finished his feature film. They had this pact where whoever finishes the script first, that's the movie they're making. So Scott was like, okay, I'll help you make your movie and then we'll make our. Well, then things took off with Clerks and the rest is history.
So I do tell people, even Clerks cost $27,000. Like it's cheap for movie standards, but it's not, you're not just pulling out $5,000 and hiring your cousin who films weddings to make a feature film. Like, it's probably not going to happen.
You shouldn't do that. Some of the things coming out on Netflix and other streaming services definitely sometimes feel like that. But but I honestly think that it's great to go for something higher than that. And that's what all these guys did. That's what Sam Raimi did and Rodriguez and Smith, and they were reaching for something. Even if they didn't totally get there, it was like they were reaching for something that was bigger than just shooting something on your iPhone and having your cousin who shoots wedding videos and be like, it's a movie. It's like, no, you can go for something bigger.
For sure. Yeah. They had a good idea.
Yeah.
They tried.
Yeah.
And they put something together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
And then you can show it at the Highland.
But they were reasonable, right? They didn't try to make Star Wars or something. They knew what they could do with $27,000, and they had a good script, and so they did it.
Yeah.
But I think they were aware of their situation and their limitations, and they made the best movie they could with $27,000.
The compromises, too. Like, one of the big compromises Kevin made was that he was going to play Randall, I believe. He wrote that for himself. And during rehearsals, he was like, I can't memorize all this stuff. He's like, the movie's going to suffer. It's going to. I use that example all the time, especially directors who think that they should also act. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't ever do that.
It works sometimes.
Yeah, but are you?
Everybody's
you're
going to
make
right?
Yeah, you're going to make Citizen Kane. If your movie Citizen Kane and you're
then
Orson Welles, go for it, right?
Right.
But if you were Orson Welles, you'd be Orson Welles, right? It's the Facebook thing,
right?
So even Kevin Smith, like, we're not talking about him or this conversation if he's Randall in Clerks, but
fair.
He had the forethought, the foresight to think, you know what, this movie's going to suffer if I do this. I can't memorize
all
this stuff.
Yeah.
My acting is going to suffer. My directing is going to suffer. So I got to focus on one thing. Well, let me focus on this. I'll get someone else to do it, right? I'll find an actor to do it, right? And then all of a sudden the movie ends up being better.
Yeah.
And not only that, he then creates the Silent Bob part, which is like an iconic
thing
in pop culture, is huge, right?
Yeah.
So that's not happening. You know what I mean? His whole career doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right?
I hate to cut this short because I know we could talk about this for hours.
We could. All night.
But we are running out of time, so I do have to sign off.
Yes.
So thank you so much to everybody for tuning in. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the program. To talk about the London Indie Film Initiative. Next Thursday is the launch, so keep an eye out for that. My name is Elijah.
I'm Mike.
We are Outside the Frame, and we will see you all next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take care of yourselves until then.